Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Chayei Sarah. And of course, the Torah begins with the death of Sarah. Vayu Chayei Sarah me'ashana v'esrim shana v'sheva shanim, that the days of Sarah were 127 years. In the Medrash, tells the story about Rabbi Akiva, who saw that his students were falling asleep in cheer. And so, intending on waking them up, he asked them to explain the merit of Esther that allowed her to rule over 127 countries. And so he explained that it was in the merit of Sarah, who lived 127 years. Now, of course, the obvious question that has to be raised is, what's the connection between Esther and Sarah? And why would this connection wake the students of Rabbi Akiva up from their slumber? So Rav Asher Weiss Shalita quotes in the name of the Chidushei Harim, who explains that Rabbi Akiva was trying to teach them not to sleep when it's not necessary, because each moment that a person leaves to sleep costs the person, so to speak, almost the value of an entire city. Rav Chana Chenech of Sasav adds that he wanted to raise them. What does that mean? He wanted to erase them, meaning he wanted even their mundane activities, even sleep, to be utilized for higher, loftier goals. Sarah Imenu, everything that she did had a higher, loftier purpose in it, and that in turn led to Esther Hamalkas being able to find the ability to rule over all different parts as well. And then the Pasuk adds and repeats, Shnei Chaye Sarah. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Rashi explains that the additional term was there that to teach us, Shakulam Shavim Litova, that all of her days were equally Tov. Now, is that really true? How can one compare the time that Sarah spent in the company of her husband with the time spent in Avimelech's palace, or worse, in Baro's palace? So the Bina Ba'a Bracha, Rabbi Yitzchak Saratzkin Zatzal, explains that Sarah Imenu set a purpose in her life. And what was the purpose in that life? To popularize and publicize the name of Hashem in the world, the name of God. So anything she did, or anything that she experienced, the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, were part of that mission. And thus, Kulam Shavim L'Tova, they were all equal in terms of the fact that they were all geared and modeled towards what she wanted out of those years. So Avraham Avinu goes out and tries to find a suitable place to bury this wonderful tzaddikess, our matriarch, Sarah Imenu. And so he turns around and decides to purchase the Maras HaMachpelah within the tribe of Chet. And the Torah tells us, Vayanu b'nei Chet es Avram le'mor lo. The children of Chet responded, and the Medrash notes that this section mentions b'nei Chet 10 times, which parallels the Aseret HaDibros. And the Medrash adds that one needs to learn and examine his own purchases and his own acquisitions in the way that one examines and studies the Ten Commandments. What does that mean? So Reb Nissen Alpert Zecher Tzadik Livracha explains that the cycle of life carries ups and downs, and one needs to be able to handle that cycle and everyday life with the same grounding that one finds in the Aseret HaDibros. One needs to turn around, and one needs to understand and study his acquisitions, his beings, his doings, in the same way that he studies the acquisitions and his beings and his doings of the Aseret HaDibros. Where do those fit down, and how are those celebrated? That's how every moment of life is also celebrated as belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after Avram is able to go ahead and bury Sarah Imenu, he realizes that he's getting older. And of course, one of the longest sections in the Torah begins with this story, as Eliezer Eved Avram is told to take an oath and order and go out and seek out an appropriate wife for Yitzchak. So the beginning of Perek Chaf Dalet, Avram turns to Eliezer and he says, Simna yadcha tachas irechi. I want you to put your hand under my thigh. And Rashi explains that he wanted Eliezer to engage in Nikitas Chayfetz. He wanted him to hold something holy at the time of the oath. And so therefore the holiest thing he had was his bris, and that's why he had him go ahead and take his bris. However, that explanation seems strange. The thigh is not a chefetz shel kedusha. A tefillin, a mezuzah, a sefer Torah, like the Gemara in Shavua says, on daf mezayin amabiz, those things have status. But a bris is not like that. So what is Eliezer going to accomplish by holding on to the bris? So if Givta Zatzal explained that milah is different than other mitzvos. It's like a sefer. After all, the Torah refers to the sefer habris, as a sefer, and hence one can perform it despite the fact that it causes pain, and one performs it even on Shabbos in the proper time, because Sefer HaBris has a status of an os, Os Bris Kodesh. And so therefore, it's not simply something that you do, it's a sign that you have. And so therefore, it is actually a chifetz, it does have value, and therefore, one would be able to hold it and actually have some unique status. So of course, 6 years ago, when my son Avram Yishai was born, and his bris took place on Shabbos, I spoke to my wonderful mentor, Rabbi Dr. Saul Roth. And Rabbi Roth Shalita often explained that a bris is a unique mitzvah because it's the very mark that makes a person into a walking Sefer Torah. And so what Eliezer Eved Avram was doing over here was that Eliezer Eved Avram was having, was being had by Avram Avinu to hold a Sefer Torah. By the mark that makes the person a Galachta Sefer Torah, by the mark that makes a person uniquely Jewish, namely the bris, that person has the ability to turn around and be a Os Kedusha. As such, explained Rabbi Roth, that's why Avraham had to hold the bris. So, Vahayan Avraham will be when there will be a woman who will be told to say, V'gam l'gmalecha ashka, that she'll say, I want you to drink and give your camels to drink. What kind of test was that? What does it prove? So Rav Olba Zatzal explained that the attribute of chesed is about giving beyond, without boundaries or limits, merely because a person wants to give. And that's what Eliezer saw in Rivka, and saw as an essential in a matriarch of the Jewish people. You got to be able to go beyond yourself. There can't be boundaries. You have to look at a situation and say, what am I able to do? That's a person who's able to go ahead and engage in chesed. So of course she does, and Eliezer repeats the whole story to her mother and her brother, and they asked her, do you want to go with this man? And she said, I'll go. And the Torah tells us, Vayishachu es Rivka ves meinikta, that they sent Rivka and her nursemaid. And what was the point that they sent her nursemaid? Why do we care? Why was the devorah so essential to the trip? So Moshe Tzvineria, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that Dvorah wasn't an ordinary nursemaid. Her job was to be the pedagogue who would teach and guide Rivka in spiritual matters. She was the one who possessed the stories and the traditions that guide life. She was going to be the one that Rivka was going to be able to turn to as they sat by the hearth, as they sewed at the kitchen table, as they prepared the food. She was going to be the one who had those stories to guide the life, and she was going to be entrusted with the ability to transmit those stories. It's probably for that reason that Devorah was also sent later to Yaakov by Rivka, as well, to understand that there is a uniqueness and there is a basis for where she was going. So this Devorah had a very important job. Vayitza Yitzchak lo suach basada, the Torah tells us on their way back, Yitzchak went out to be involved in a sicha, in a conversation in the field. And the Gemara tells us that each day they waited until the sunset was visible over Hebron in order to bring the korbanos. Right? And they would ask the question, Heirat Hebron. So the Hasidic commentaries explain that the reason why they waited for Hebron is because we want to utilize the merits of the Yishenei Hebron as a means to be able to utilize prayer. But Rabbi Soloveitchik went one step further with this idea. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, the Gemara explains, Tfilos Avos Teknum. The Tfilos were established by the Avos, and that's the Heta we have to daven in the first place. It's more than just utilizing a symbol. They're the basis of the practice. So Rav Shechter Shalita would often add that Yitzchak had a different experience of tefillah than Avram. Avram was an optimistic person, and he lived a life like his tefillah, time. It was at the morning, he was at the dawn, and therefore he was misaking the tefillah at the dawn. Yitzchak, he lived in a more constrained time, and so the model of his tefillah, of Mincha, whose time is reminiscent of the tefillah itself as well. Our tefillah merely follows their model. Each one taught us to daven on a certain perspective with a certain understanding. And that's why we utilize them in our davening of our Shmona Esrei as well. Finally, in this coming week's Haftorah, we will have the opportunity and the privilege to point out that not only was Avram Zakin Baba Yamin, V'Hamelech David Zakin Baba Yamin, we're going to be told that King David was also getting old. And the description of the trials and challenges of the Haftorah, with the challenges of Adonio ben Chagis versus Shlomo HaMelech, right? They sharply contrast the description of the same period of time in Divrei Hayamim, where the entire transition seems to be a lot smoother. So how do we explain the calm there in contrast to the description over here in such detail? So Yigal Ariel, Rav Yigal Ariel suggests that the two works examine the world in two different ways. The description in Divrei Hayamim is from a nationalistic perspective. And from that angle, David appointed Shlomo, and that was the end of the story. However, the Sefer Melachim highlights the involvement of Hashgacha in even the individual sections of life. And David HaMelech was making a choice. He could have left the throne to be determined naturally. But like Avram and Yitzhak, who when they were Baba Yamin, when they were getting old, they prepared for the future to make sure that there were no challenges to Hashem's will, David HaMelech chose the same. And as such, he ensured that his Melucha would remain Kayam, would remain and also remain Chazak, Li'olam u'le'ome olamim. We also seek the period where David's Melucha will continue to be strong with the coming of Mashiach, b'mheira v'yameinu, Shabbat Shalom to all.